This is what one does, who is skilled in goodness, and who knows the path of peace. They are able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, with few duties and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud or demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove. Wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be at ease. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings. One cherishes all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will. Whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, one sustains this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding. By not holding to wrong views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. All right. So, I recently looked at my own YouTube talks, humble and not conceited as I am, and I found one that I completely forgot about, actually, in Nola Mara. I was supposed to give a sutta class in Nola Mara, and because I think I did one or two already with my favorite suttas, and I'm not a Pali scholar, and I don't work with that many suttas, I suggested something different to have a little bit more of a discussion. And the discussion was about just a little passage that I found so helpful for my meditation. And there's, I cannot remember now if one of the enlightened nun asked another monk or if the monk asked the nun. It's not so important. It's not from the Buddha, it's basically one of the enlightened or awakened disciples of the Buddha. And he or she asks, what is feeling? Feeling is pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, and neither pleasant nor unpleasant feeling. These three sorts of feelings there are. And then, what is a pleasant feeling? A pleasant feeling is a painful feeling subsiding or fading away. What is an unpleasant feeling? An unpleasant feeling is a painful, unpleasant feeling is a painful feeling subsiding. Huh? And then what is said, I think that's pretty clear, it's very simple, isn't it? So pleasant feeling going away, we consider suffering, huh? We consider unpleasant. If we're happy, that happiness fades, that difference in perception creates the feeling is less content than it was before, so we call that a more unpleasant feeling, and vice versa. Hmm? So very simple so far. And then the third question is, what is with pleasant, neither pleasant nor unpleasant feelings? Hmm? And then came for me something really interesting. The definition is a neither pleasant nor unpleasant feeling observed is pleasant, and neither pleasant nor unpleasant feeling unobserved is unpleasant or suffering. Huh? And that I try to apply that in my meditation for quite a while, but I completely forgotten that context of the sutta, because we are in this realm where we're seeking pleasant feelings the whole time and try to avoid unpleasant feelings. That's the condition we're in as human beings and animals. Huh? That's our major goal in life. Hmm? We could basically say that all our actions go in the direction to create more happiness and try to avoid unhappiness. Hmm? The interesting part for me is that this neither pleasant nor unpleasant, we call it, or sometimes I translate neutral feelings, huh? But we don't really have that neutral. Huh? If it was completely neutral, I guess we wouldn't perceive it at all. Huh? It's sort of there in the background. It's like a politician is a judge is supposed to be neutral, but we all know that the politicians in the Supreme Court America, for example, the conservatives always try to get the conservative judges with a conservative view into the Supreme Court, and the Democrats basically, they try to get the more liberal judges into the Supreme Court. So it's even the judge is supposed to be neutral. There's obviously always a leaning towards one or the other side a little bit. And that is in our own mind, it's the same with everything, with prejudice, with religious view or whatnot. Even if we consider ourselves non-religious, we're still leaning maybe a little bit more to a religion, or we're completely anti-religion, and so on. And with feelings, with the neither pleasant nor unpleasant feelings, it's the same. They're neither super pleasant that we are aware of them, nor super unpleasant that we try to do something about them. And that is what we're confronted with in the meditation usually when we start. Huh? If we're not in physical pain, we have this a lot of these neither pleasant nor unpleasant feelings to deal with. Huh? And so observing the neutral feeling is supposed to make them pleasant. Not observing them is unpleasant. And I tried that out, but it's not quite like that, but because the observing itself is never neutral. And that's what I try to point out to you for a long time in the meditation, the observer, the one who is aware what is going on from moment to moment to moment. When we sit down, the thought process slows down a little bit. We become aware of this immensity of perceptions coming in. These things we're not aware of before, maybe sounds that we didn't hear before become more disturbing or more pleasant, but rarely more pleasant, usually more disturbing. And then we can become aware of sensations in the body. We see that the mind goes behind the eyes. Actually, we see it a little bit through, even our eyes are shut. Actually, we see the light that is still coming through the eyelids. It's going back to the ears, going back to a part of the body. And perception is basically running around in this state where we everything becomes a little bit calmer, because there's not, the focus is not on the thoughts. Everything else becomes a little bit more prominent. But then looking at something, because it is not neutral, it is with this attitude that we have. To even change this neutral feeling through being observed into a pleasant feeling, the observer itself has to be interested. Because I now always use interested, because interested for me is a form of kindness. If a parent is interested in something that the child does, the child perceives that as pleasant. If it doesn't do anything naughty, then the parents are not supposed to see. But if they do something, build something or whatnot, and one of the grown-ups is interested in that, it is pleasant. If anybody else is interested in what we're doing, we usually perceive that as pleasant. If they are really interested and not just watching us to criticize or whatnot. But interest itself, this capturing somebody else's attention or even capturing our own attention, has a form of kindness in it already. So I like even to use the word getting interested in something what is happening in your meditation. And a beautiful thing that we all have, and what most of the meditation teachers suggest as well, is the breath. And why is that? Because it's usually the most neutral thing that we live on, day by day. When are we ever aware of our breath? When we're out of breath? When we're underwater? And we have to hold our breath? But most of the times in our life, we're not aware of our breathing. It just goes on and on. It's pretty much as aware as of our, like we are of our heartbeats. But while we cannot control the heartbeat as directly, we can focus and direct the breath more. So it doesn't even matter if we put a little bit of if we manipulate the breath a little bit in the beginning, because usually whatever we watch, we start to manipulate. It's just the way it is. If you watch your own meditation, it's sort of, we always try to fiddle around with something. But the kinder, the more interested we're really in what is happening right now, what is going on, and that is such a different attitude from wanting something, you know. That would be in that realm of achieving and getting somewhere. But really having that attitude in the moment in the meditation where we sit down, and it's just like Ajahn Brahm says, good enough, good enough, good enough. Or just this, wow. I tried stuff like that, for example, all the things that are not there for me right now. Did a bit of a contemplation, huh? Just like, oh, I'm not in strong physical pain right now. Huh? It's actually quite comfortable. I really don't have to do anything right now. Huh? Wow, I have that great opportunity to sit here now and do absolutely nothing and just watch what is going on. And obviously for me, in robes, I can, if I contemplate right, I can bring up that gratitude that people feed me, that I can watch my mind. Yeah? Basically, build a nice hut for me that I can sit there and watch what is going on. So that can pass unnoticed and become something normal, and I can look for everything else that is missing and that I want. Or I can move the mind consciously back to that. Well, all these things that could be really more negative are not that negative, and all the feelings that I have already, all the things that I have already, the heart, the kindness of the people feeding me, the lack of responsibility I have. And at least we have that in the meditation. Huh? We can have that for that half hour. And that is just a suggestion for the meditation that we can do tonight. Just this, can you have that kind interest in what is going on in the moment? Does that really happen? Was the nun speaking true when she said, and the feeling unobserved, the neutral or the neither pleasant nor unpleasant feeling unobserved is dukkha, is suffering, is unpleasant, and the neutral feeling observed is pleasant. And if it doesn't happen, if you watch something and it doesn't become pleasant and becomes more unpleasant, I hope you become a little bit more aware of this observer who is basically looking at the thing, and then ask yourself, is this really interest in what is going on, or is there somebody already trying to manipulate and to go into a particular direction? And there to that the mind doesn't have to think about where am I supposed to be now. The breath is there for you. The breath is the most neutral thing that we have here. It's going in and out if we want it or not until the moment we die. It's just going to happen. If we sleep, if we are unconscious, if we manipulate or we don't manipulate. So that thing, watching that with interest, finding, and Ajahn Brahm mentions the beautiful breath. Some of you might remember who listened to a bit to Ajahn Brahm talks. There comes a moment where you watch that breath with kind interest enough that it becomes something completely different. That it becomes beautiful, something so mundane, so day-to-day, so unobserved the whole time, can get into the beautiful breath. And that might not happen in the meditation. I don't want to make people just greedy for something to happen again in the meditation. I just want to point out that often we believe, because this thing is like that, the breath is boring. There's nothing special. No. It depends on the mind state. If the mind state has this energy built up of real interest and really following the breath in and out, and the thoughts slow down and the mind just goes to the breath and just stays with it and doesn't want anything else in this moment, and not wanting the mind not to want anything else. I mean the mind really not wanting anything else. Like being so interested that you cannot want anything else. Like the moments you have to remember yourselves in your life where something was so captivating that there was not a thought of anything else. The mind just stayed with it. Maybe you had it for seconds, maybe minutes, maybe longer, with something, with your first love, or with your with a great present you got and you really wanted to have. And then basically that moment where you just capture, or a great movie or sound, a concert or record, where it just kept you there, and kept the mind, was happy where it was. That is the most important part. This interest it has a form of kindness and a happiness to it. And then just remembering that and not wanting it to be more happy. If the mind is not that happy, there can be that little click in the mind where it sees, oh, okay, unhappiness. How does that feel? And you become interested in the unhappiness or an unhappy thought or a little bit of an unhappy feeling. And through the interest, you see the feeling shifting. And then you might say, oh, that nun spoke true, actually. This is really what happens. So please try to observe that today in your meditation. We call that kind interest. I don't want to nail you down on the breath or anything. I just like to remind you the breath is always there for you. If you have the feeling there is too much wandering around and it becomes, the mind likes to focus on something in that moment, the breath is there for you. And also when the breath can really go in and out and is not constricted, it has a very relaxing and pleasant effect for the body as well. We can work a little bit with the body as well, that you make sure that you're just as comfortable as you can be. So enough talk. We give that a try. I give a few more hints at the beginning of the meditation, and let's have a look where it goes, okay? So please make yourself comfortable. Oops. Knack, knack. Take your time. Really, really important that you have a position where you could fall asleep or go unconscious and the body would just sit there. It's basically that is how relaxed the body can be in the meditation. That it doesn't need any watcher over it. It's just going to be stable enough in the position where we are. I hope you have a nice seat. That chair I'm sitting in is quite comfortable. I know for half an hour my body is gonna be fine. I can relax, I can fall asleep, I can go unconscious, and nothing is gonna happen with that body. So that's always the first act of kindness, that we try our very best. We know that the body is painful in itself and it's not comfortable in any position for a long time. But after a while, we know in that position I can sit, I'm not gonna harm the body. and do my very best to make you comfortable. A first act of kindness. And then we become a little bit more aware of the body, of our position. Can go from your feet upwards, or what I often do is just take a few deep breaths in and I pump myself a little bit up that my shoulders go up. And then I breathe out and my head comes into the right position, my shoulders drop down. And that is for me then the second act of kindness at the start of the meditation, just the knowing that the breath is going in and out very easily. It's not, the belly is not constricted. I'm not sitting in a position where I'm too hunched that I cannot breathe freely. It has to be in a position where you can take a really deep breath in if you want to. Then on the out-breath, it's so easy to relax the shoulders. And the hands just move into a position where they support the relaxed shoulders. So it all comes more natural instead of a pre-prescribed position. It's just the position you are comfortable in, you feel right in. And the third thing I try to become aware of then is it's part of the attitude, the first few steps already. There's kindness in that already. Yeah? Wanting the best and wanting it as comfortable as we can for the body, wanting to make sure we don't harm the body. And the third thing is the mirror image of the attitude of the mind. As our mouse. If we have an honest smile, or sometimes even a fake smile, then the mind remembers something. It remembers this. Either it laughs a little bit because the smile is fake and it feels weird, or we can have that smile for our meditation, for our attitude. Just, wow, let's have a look. Let's have a look what's going on. When we don't manipulate, when we don't have to do anything for half an hour, when the mind is allowed to go where it wants to, perception can go where it likes to. It's not the time for the thinking mind. The thinking mind is in charge the whole time. The thinking mind is allowed to slow down. It's nothing to, we have to figure out now. There might be still thoughts, but they are not going to be the focus now. It's going to be the feelings in our body. Pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, neutral feeling. And if it's not strong pain, hopefully in your body, there's a lot of neutral feelings going on right now. Things we're not aware of. And if you enjoy the perception just drifting around in the body a bit, fine. If you like to anchor it a little bit more, the breath is inviting you as a very neutral object. And this kindness and interest towards the breath is just, sometimes it works very quickly, just makes one feel more relaxed. The in-breath and then the out-breath, we can always relax the body a little bit more, relax the facial muscles. And then this smile of your attitude, and just having this goodwill, not putting even a little bit of effort into that goodwill for the moment, and just that we know we're trying to do our very best to be kind. Kindness is just this interest. Whatever is coming up is welcome. There's no judgment there. Like the mother watching her child. If it poops in the diapers, or if it smiles, or it burps, the mother just watches with a mother's kindness. So wouldn't that be beautiful if we can watch our own mind with the same kindness, indiscriminating kindness? We take the breath a little bit more into the foreground, that we use the breath to relax the body even further. We feel if there is still tension anywhere. Are we still holding anything up? The feet, are the feet in the right positions? The knees in the right angle? There's no work there. The back is relaxed. And if you still have a little bit of tension, just make your in-breath a little bit bigger. And then let it out. And on the out-breath, sometimes, oh yeah, it's even can be more relaxed. And that is so kind, that has a smile to it already. And if there's a smile on your face, and after a while even the smile becomes a burden, because even that is work in the face. So the face relaxes and the smile stays. Just a smile, not having to do anything, investigating with interest. If I don't manipulate, if I don't think, seeing this immensity of sensations still running on and on, all unobserved, all just needing a little bit of kind observation to become a beautiful feeling. What was boring, uninteresting, unappealing can change through kind interest. That kindness is calm. Non-judgmental. It even becomes non-discriminating. Not wishing for anything else, but exactly that what is happening right now. That's true kindness. True interest. your thoughts have slowed down a little bit. We can go a little bit closer onto the breath now. Because it just feels so good to know the body is still doing the job. And because it's moving, it's easier to watch. Going in all the way through the body, wherever it goes, wherever the sensation is, not a fixed point. And when it goes out, so many sensations in the body on each in-breath and each out-breath. And we know the body is doing the job. So we can completely relax. If we still manipulate a little bit, fine. But we don't have to. We could just be watching the body doing its job. How well it does it. Well done, body. Still breathing. Incredible amount of sensation just in this in-breath and out-breath. Just this interest just seems to lighten up all the hidden things we're not aware of. Incredible amount of sensation. You can almost feel this gratitude in the body that we pay attention for a change. Really can relax now. It does the best job. With no stress at all, no interference. It knows exactly what to do. That kind interest is just so relaxing. And all the burdens of thought, of being anywhere else, it all disappears. Just in any millisecond. In breath, out breath. Full spectrum, relaxing into that one. I'm gonna ring the bell 3 times and we can end the meditation for tonight.
Thank you. I it was a bit abrupt to talk, but would you like to continue a Dharma talk, or would you like to take some questions? There's already one that's come in the chat.
Okay, maybe we put the questions off just a few minutes. So I hope it was as good for you as it was for me, or better. I just want to make the pass a little bit clearer. So what is it all about? What is it all good for? Huh? And the Buddha obviously figured out, like many others before him and after him, that this desire that is constantly there is causing trouble. Huh? There is in that realm of desire, there is no possibility of a stable happiness. As long as we want something, there will always come something across that we don't want. And that is not the only problem. The nature of desire itself is not that desire is fulfilled and then desire says, oh, thank you so much, I'm going to be happy forever after. It's basically desire fulfilled, that is basically unhappiness, because we had that feeling thing, pleasant feeling, desire that we, something that we desire gets fulfilled, pleasant feeling, but in the moment where it vanishes, it becomes unpleasant, because the mind remembers something better. So that's why some drugs can be incredibly addictive, because they take people on a super duper high, something they have never experienced before. And then it's not that they're addicted to the drugs already, they're addicted to that mind state in the first place. Huh? Oh, I want that again. I want to have that again. Huh? And then basically the trouble is the sensations fade. Huh? Nothing is as fresh as we experience it as when we were younger, huh? The first time we did something, and I said, wow, this is amazing. And then can be anything, can be a sport, can be a girlfriend, can be your boyfriend, or success in a study, or some sort of achievement, and just. But this to get that feeling again, there's more and more effort involved. So in that whole realm of desire, satisfied desire, basically, we are in that predicament already, that the only way we experience a pleasant experience is an unpleasant experience fading away. Where is the unpleasant feeling coming from? The unpleasant feeling is the unfulfilled desire that is wants something already, that is grasping. And they are expressed through our 5 senses. We want to see beautiful things, want to hear beautiful sounds, want to feel beautiful touches, smell beautiful things. Yeah, taste, smell, hearing, touches. You know, that envision, yeah, seeing beautiful things. So through the five senses, we try to manipulate the whole time that we come from this unpleasant experience to pleasant experience, from that feeling of desire, fulfillment of desire, we experience as happiness. So, and that is not a religion, that is something you can watch in your own mind. Basically, that is the interesting part. It's not that we do all that stuff because we're so satisfied. We have to do so many things, because if we don't do that, we get the suffering. And anybody who has been to a meditation retreat at Jhana Grove or whatnot, to not to do anything for 9 days can be hell for some people. If we were this self-sufficient thing, just sitting there, oh yeah, now I'm on a retreat, nothing to do, let's be happy. But it isn't like that. It's basically a desire not getting fulfilled, especially if you had a lot of busyness in the world. Like it might be, oh, this is beautiful for 1 or 2 days, I don't have to do anything. And then all the other stuff, oh, but I get the phone out, actually, get the book out, get this out, basically, and eat a little bit more. That's the desire stuff. And that's where we're all in that boat, we're sitting all together already. The only happiness we know is the happiness of unpleasant feeling becoming pleasant because it's fading away, and pleasant feeling becoming unpleasant because it's fading away. So it's always coming from a vacuum, trying to suck something already. What we're doing in the meditation now is trying to build up a mind state that is so interested, kind, undiscerning, unjudgmental, but actually really interested whatever is going on. And that can become very, very powerful once you get into beautiful breath. The fascination that you... I sometimes thought, how is it possible that I cannot be aware of that all the time? How can I be so stupid that something is so beautiful and it's there for me all the time already, and the mind is still looking out there for other stuff all the time. And the way that the teaching works is the mind just goes less and less into the realm of manipulating desire and the outside surroundings to get the pleasant things and avoid the unpleasant things. It gets to this point where it sniffs a little bit of the beauty that is a possibility in our own minds already. Because this kind interest thing, which is just only a concept, a word for most of you, is a real thing. This and not a stable thing. It's basically can get so powerful that usually when it's so powerful, then the body doesn't matter anyway. But if the mindset is like that, I just remember mindsets where I remember having the flu, and I had the shits and I was vomiting. And it didn't do anything with my mind. There was the same gratitude and the same happiness there with the flu than without the flu before that. The body, all this bodily stuff where it's, oh yeah, sure, you feel bad. You're allowed to feel bad because you have the flu. It doesn't, if the mind is bright enough, the flu is not the flu. The flu was just some bodily things happening, but there was no discernment, distinction between this is good or bad. No, it was the opposite. I was incredibly grateful because it was a retreat time. I was here, we have the Vasa, the rains retreat, for 3 months. And that I was in the Wasser, and I just thought, oh, thank you. This is such a fabulous time to get the flu, because I don't have to do anything. No obligations, no nothing. I don't, if I'm too sick and I can't go up there, my body will be all right for a day or two without food. I have enough water. My heart is warm, my bed is warm, actually. And just don't have to do anything. And with that mindset, it just more and more and more happiness came up, because it was there before. So this non-discerning mind, developing that in the meditation, you will find it's only possible if you develop this kind interest. Otherwise, you're always gonna manipulate here and there. It's just that it's not good. Oh, no, I don't want to go there. No, no. Oh, why is that happening? No, I'm doing something wrong. No, you don't do anything wrong. It's basically the body doing its business, the mind is doing its business. The observer learns to be so kind in your meditation that it can just sit there and just, yeah, you're welcome. Oh, fear is coming up. Oh, welcome. How does fear feel? And fear was a thought in the mind before. And then you realize, oh, a thought, okay, where is that in the body? How does that feel? That is kindness. And a tick in the body, you stop feeling your legs or whatnot. Wow, amazing, how does that feel? This trust in that kindness, we made it as comfortable as we could. And it's so kind. We know it's as relaxed as we can make it. And if it's going to die in that moment, it's going to die. That's not because we're doing something wrong. It was just time to die. It's not because the meditation is going to get deeper, that the body is going to die. Yeah? The body is just feeling greater and greater because it's absolutely relaxed. It doesn't have to do anything anymore. And so that is the opposite direction of trying to hold something back that we don't want, or trying to grab something that we do want. When it comes to that point where the mind has enough happiness in itself, where it's just this, the mind knows you don't want anything anymore. And that sort of freedom and bliss is the first time there is an idea of what happiness is. Because that cannot be changed by anybody, because it doesn't have the condition that anybody sits in the background and judges, I want this and I don't want that. It's basically, there's no problem with the body already, there's just the mind. Right? So you just get an understanding where the Buddha is coming from, where the Buddha is pointing to. Just said, here, there's a problem there in that realm. And I just found a way out. And the way is supposed to be nicer and nicer and nicer, more beautiful mind, a happier mind on your way. And if you practice it, where your mind is going to become kinder, because you see in your meditation when the mind is not kind, if you pay attention. And then, okay, that's not kind now, actually. And then you put some kindness there. Can be kind that the mind is not kind. Still not kind, that's okay. Be not kind, mind. This wishing well with oneself. You're just letting the mind do the job. Just the observer becomes kinder. Whenever the observer remembers. And that is what we can do. The rest is just conditioned. The rest is not up to us. I mean, we have, as Christians, we have, and even scientifically now, most of the people, they still believe we have free will. That is a concept they just came up with because they had to explain why God, in his omnipotence, can allow so many bad things to happen. So they had to come up with the concept of humans have free will, and so basically we make our own decisions and we basically decide going in the good direction and bad direction. That's not God's business. Huh? So we're free from that influence there, which is complete nonsense. It's just a concept. If you watch your mind, you see there is not a thing like free will. And luckily, there's some scientific studies now as well. There's an interesting BBC study, and the reporter, they can measure in the brain. We have a motor neuron center where basically that controls our body movement. And we have a center in our brain that says, "Oh, I'm aware of something, and I'm going to make a decision." Yeah? There are two different centers in the brain that light up, and they can see that on their encephalogram, whatever that is. So the experiment was: reporter is sitting there, and I think there's just a dial going around, and he's deciding. No, I'm going to stop it. No, I'm going to stop it. No, I'm going to stop it. Like decision for free will. Huh? The scientists could later up to 3 seconds. Sometimes it's only milliseconds, but we will, some stuff it's 3 seconds that the motor neuron system was preparing itself to move the muscle to press the button. And 3 seconds later, the awareness center that thinks I'm making the decision was becoming aware of it. So the decision was made before we became aware that we made the decision. I'm not making that up, actually. Our mind is telling ourselves a story, basically. It's telling ourselves the story that we are in control. And that causes all the guilt and the trouble and the frustration in meditation because we think we're in charge here. But that thing is just rolling on and on and on. Everything is conditioned. That's one thing the Buddha said. Everything is conditioned. There is no pure soul somewhere in the center, actually, that is not manipulated by anything or whatnot that we have to find. There is one conditioning having an effect, that having an effect, that having an effect, and so on, and so on, and so on. Where is this, in all this wanting and not wanting, where is there supposed to be free will? Where can there be free will? Because it's never free. It's always what we want or what we don't want. So yeah, just watch it in your own mind, and hopefully that gives you a little bit of just to take that factor out when the mind gets negative. It's just like, oh, I'm doing something wrong. I'm not practicing right. Oh, no, it's just like, okay, that is the mind just being unkind again. That's just conditioned. But I can recondition the mind because I see this is just causing more suffering. Not treating myself nicely is not leading into a direction that is going to lead you out of suffering. It's the opposite. Interest, watching with interest, what is really going on? Not just believing me or anybody else. Look for yourself if that is true or not. Look, if you really look kindly at your breath, will you have that experience where that neutral, boring breath can become something beautiful? See what sort of mind state is necessary for that. What is real interest? Are you really there every millisecond with the breath in? What? Oh no, there was another thought already. Oh, another thought going in, going there. But if that interest can become powerful enough that the whole thing becomes very beautiful and relaxed, there is a feeling of, oh, wow, this is safety. I don't have to do anything anymore. No problems here. And then that can become bigger and bigger until it becomes so beautiful that there is no trouble of thinking, because it just pulls you in. And then the thoughts, they go away by themselves, even the little things we were hardly aware of. And that is the direction, just this is not in the direction of wanting and not wanting. It's this moment by moment by moment by moment. And it's very relaxing and very beautiful if you do it rightly. And if the thought ever comes up, I try to sing with sort of, oh, this is boring. And it's just like, okay, boredom. How does boredom really feel? And there was an incredible meditation afterwards, just with that thought, just swapping things around. In that moment, the mind was really interested. How does boredom feel? And boredom doesn't feel bad at all. In the moment the mind was interested in boredom, actually it became something beautiful. It was amazing. It was relaxing. So please try. Try for yourself. I hope I gave you some things you can play around with a little bit at home now. Okay?
Absolutely. Lots of useful things, as well as a really gentle meditation. Thank you, Arjan.
Welcome.
The question that's come in through the chat, shall I read that out?
Please.
Regarding feelings. As mentioned before, we always look for good feelings and avoid bad ones. What about negative feelings like sadness, depression, or fear? What should we do with those, as we know if we keep having them, our body will be negatively affected as well? I'm a bit confused by not avoiding them.
It depends on the degree of the feeling. If it's depression, strong depression, sometimes you just have to do something. You have to get out of the house or whatnot, or watch something on telly, or chat to somebody or whatnot. If the one thing is very important to know, that if we have an unstable mind state, let's say an extreme mindset, it doesn't need to be negative; it can be positive as well. In the manic realm, the mind is also very confused. If you ever watched, the mind is like looking through glasses, and when it's depressed, you have the super dark sunglasses on, and everything is viewed through that mindset. So everything that seemed to be delightful in the past is just meaningless and more horrible or banal or whatever. So if the mind is in an extreme state, we try to take it. Part of the kindness is to take it out of that, to distract it with something, whatever we can, whatever we have in our arsenal of experience that helps. The thing I'm describing is for when the mind is in that, if that is the middle curve of your mind, basically, and the mind is just slightly up and down around here. It's not on the high and low curves. It's just basically like that. And there's where we can watch. It's not super pleasant, it's not super unpleasant. And it's just this almost what we call neutral. And there's, if the mind is not there, it's not the right time to meditate. If the mind is too negative, too depressed, or you're in too much pain or whatever, it's good to do other things. Something that makes you happy and enjoy some of the sense pleasures. In the realm of the five precepts, if possible. But yeah, do something nice for yourself. That is part of the kindness. So we're all addicts. It's not doing one thing or the other. It's basically having the opportunity to watch. And sometimes it's because we don't have this kindness, enough kindness in that moment, interest to watch. And it becomes something different. But that is only in the realm where it's not too far away from a relatively calm mind. Otherwise, it's time for action. And then please do something. Okay?
Thank you. Great answer. Eva, would you like to unmute?
Yeah, thank you, Kaisen. Thanks, Ajahn. That's super interesting. And one question what I have, though, is I had once a very split second. I had this, I could see the beautiful breath where I really felt like that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. But in that very moment when I became aware of it, and I, you know, I was like, oh wow, that's just amazing. It just went away immediately, you know. So and you just said that we have to be in a kind of neutral mind state. But if you then become aware of this beautiful, you know, really amazing, most amazing thing you have ever seen, and suddenly you're like, oh wow, that is just awesome, and then it just, you know, it goes away right away. So. I'm not quite sure how to deal with that situation.
Well, you don't have a choice anyway. Just the mind deals with it. However the mind deals with it. It's, if something really unexpected happens, the mind becomes excited. Some people react with fear. Some people react with, wow, yeah. I'm just usually like, wow. And then it also can crumble. But that is just we have to become a little bit more familiar with that. The trouble is, or was for me for a long time actually, when you had something, the mind remembers. So for me, the meditation afterwards was a long time always boring and not appreciated, because I know that mindset is still so. Is a little bit calmer, whatnot, but I know it can become so much more beautiful and interesting. Huh? So that discontent came up for a long time. And that is just, I couldn't do anything about that. The mind just has to go through that. I just can remind myself, this is exactly what is preventing nice meditation. I mean, the beautiful breath was beautiful because there was nobody who wanted something different. There was really attention on the breath. And then sometimes it can go so spontaneous to go super nice that we sort of, we get a little shock, and then the whole thing can crumble again, basically. That's just, that's what I mean. If you have the possibility on a retreat, it's not just a good meditation, it's just developing this wholesome mind state, this kindness, This is not just your retreat. You're there with other people, just helping out, basically being generous, being kind to each other. That whole thing, putting oneself in a situation where the mind can experience a form of safety and well-meaning that we haven't put effort in for a long time, or maybe the last time when we were little children, maybe somebody was as nice if we were lucky or whatnot, you know. But if that mind state becomes strong enough, then this beautiful breath and stuff happens basically all the time. It just comes, and then sometimes it gets excited again and goes again. But if there is enough happiness in the mind, because you just see what a beautiful mindset you have, there is no negativity. I mean, for me, it was no negativity for weeks. And that is really rare for me. I'm quite aware how negative my mind gets and fault finding and whatnot most of the time, you know. And if you manage really to get that a little bit more stable, aspire to something really wholesome in your mind. And this is just this acceptance. This is acceptance. The guy next to you in the meditation retreat. Farting like a pig and breathing too loudly, actually, and the other guy is not cleaning his room, and that guy is walking too loudly and whatnot, but having the kindness with that, the acceptance that the mind is not disturbed, because the circumstances are still great, you know, they're all still trying their best. We just have our individual little idiosyncrasies and annoying little habits that might piss off a lot of other people, actually. Yeah? So developing that mind, if you have ever the chance in the meditation retreat, the meditation is just part of it. The wholesomeness, the giving, and then helping there, actually enjoying helping, enjoying having the people around trying to go in a similar direction, that stabilizes things. And then even when something nice happens, it might wobble again and pass again, but the direction becomes a lot clearer, because the beautiful breath can come up more often. You know what sort of mindset is necessary to keep that going, and that is a very, very wholesome mind. And I never controlled it. It just happened to me, basically. Huh? It just happened. Like everything was just gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. It just happened. But it's now it's gone again, and where has it gone? It's as impermanent as everything else. If I was in charge, I would just take it back. Huh? I just hope I remember often enough that in a wholesome mindset is important, so I don't focus on negativity and other people. Huh? Because the other people are not the problem. My mind is the problem. Huh? When my mind is all right, there is no problem out there anymore. The world changes. And that is the way of Buddhism, huh? Not fiddling out there. We're basically trying to get that right here in our heart, in our mind. And we're going to perceive the world in a completely different way. And that possibility exists as a human being. Huh? Okay? Question answered enough? Yeah? Okay.
Thank you very much, Jan. The thing I'm left with is the reminder of the meditation sitting in a much bigger framework of kindness and care and gratitude, and without that, we can be blown in the wind.
Well, I hope still with a little bit of reminder you manage in the world that you get this reference point. Huh? You just see when the mind goes somewhere where it just feels wrong. Huh? If there's anger, aggressiveness, you see your grumpiness. You just see, wow, okay, that is not the direction I want to go. It's just the way it is right now. But basically, you know there is something different. And I hope you all will find that in your meditation, just this, because you get a feeling for kindness and for calmness when the body is relaxed. Huh? When the body is relaxed, I mean, if you see people when they're gesticulating and shouting and whatnot, they have very, very tense bodies. Huh? Aggressive people have very tense bodies. Controlling people have very, very tense bodies. Every time we let go a little bit, the body just thanks us. As also, so it's good for our health if we can do that. For you with health problems, anytime you can relax and be kind to yourself, it doesn't need to go all the way, but it's every little bit helps. And every time the mind sees it, it's going to appreciate it, hopefully more and more, that there is a soft direction there for you, actually, which is more beautiful and more attractive. Okay.
It's thank you very much for your kindness.
You're welcome.
And sharing your experiences with us tonight.
Welcome.
Really appreciate it. And we look forward to seeing you when you're back here next time.
All right. Well, have a nice evening. Sleep well. Relax. And all the best.